Thank you, Ryan. I could say a lot, but we'll move right on. Every time I looked over there, Ryan was getting spanked in cornhole. If you're not sore after all them beatings, you'll never be sore. Amen. I'm glad that you were able to come, Ryan. You thanked us for the invitation. I'm glad you were able to come. Amen. You added something special to our meeting, young man, and I appreciate the fact that you were there, and I hope you had a great time. I wish we could have got a picture of your face a couple of times and showed it up there. I think it would have just told how people enjoyed themselves. It's good to see people enjoy themselves the way Ryan enjoys himself. You have your Bible open to Ephesians chapter 5. And we've been talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want to kind of hone in on a few things that the Lord's laid upon my heart. This thing of being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not an option. And I hope that I got to thinking back over the last couple of weeks. I sure hope that in my lack of ability that I haven't presented it that way, that, you know, hey, this is something you ought to do. It's not something you ought to do. It's something that you better do. You see, being filled with the Spirit is not a recommendation from God. It's not a request. It's not a suggestion that you be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, last week when we were talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, I kind of spent most of the time on the contrast between being drunk with wine, and if you look at verse 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. That word excess there is a very interesting word, and it comes from a root word that means to abandon or to take your hands off. In other words, you just kind of lose control. You take your hands off and just go with the flow, you know. It's an abandonment. You abandon some things. And, well, when people are drunk with wine, they certainly abandon some things, their dignity, their character, and many other things that they abandon. Now, on the flip side of that, we're going to look at it with the Spirit here in just a moment. But there's the contrast. Be not drunk with wine. And then it says, but, and here's the contrast, okay, but be filled with the Spirit. So we looked at the contrast. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the command of being filled with the Spirit. It's a commandment. It's a commandment. It's just as much a commandment for you and I who were saved to be filled with the Holy Spirit as any other commandment in the Bible is to be obeyed and to be followed. This commandment is as well. And so I want us to take it that way. I want us to understand. Now, God commands things for our good. It's for our good. See, being filled with the Holy Spirit is for our good. It's good to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So here's a commandment. This, again, I want to make this very clear. When you look down at verse number 18, we're going to get in detail on some of the wording here, the structure of how this is worded. It's definitely a commandment. It's imperative. There's no question that it's not a suggestion. It's imperative. You are to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, God will never, I read after a man who says that God's commandments are God's enablements. In other words, God will never command you. God will never command me. God never commands His children to do anything that He will not enable them to do. And so with this commandment, certainly there's provision that are made. Now, there's a human element involved, and we'll look at that if we have time tonight. Now, I want to start by saying this. As I was reflecting this past week over what this thing of being filled with the Spirit is, I began to think about some things that I had studied in the years past, and I began to think about the book of Acts and the way that those believers in the book of Acts, the way they lived out their Christian experience. And the thing that jumps out when you cannot read the book of Acts carefully, without recognizing here was a group of men, here was a group of people that were filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Over and over and over again, the Bible says, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And Stephen being filled with the Holy Ghost. And Saul, which is Paul, being filled with the Holy Ghost. And Peter being filled with the Holy Ghost. That it just constantly stands out. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1, in verse number 15, that John the Baptist, while he was in his mother's womb, was filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 41 that John's mother, Elizabeth, was filled with the Holy Ghost. Luke 1 verse 67, Zechariah, John's father, was filled with the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 4, the Bible says that the disciples were filled with the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 4 and verse number 8, the Bible says that Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 4, get this one, in verse number 31, the Bible says that the whole church was filled with the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 6, the church ran into a little problem. And those men that were filled with the Holy Ghost, they knew what it was going to take to squelch that problem. And they said, look out among you, men that are honest, look out, honest men among you, and that they be full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. You know, one of the criteria right at the top, he said, when you go to get those men, those seven men of good report, you make sure they are men that are filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because we want them to correct problems and not create them. In Acts chapter 7, when Stephen stood and he preached to that group of Pharisees that cut to their heart, the Bible says that he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And when he looked up into the heavens, he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, there's something very interesting that I found. And God, listen, I'm a little slow sometimes. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter number 9. The Bible talks about you know what Acts chapter 9 is. It's the conversion of Saul. Now, in chapter 9, Saul gets saved. Now, you know, when Saul got saved, God smote him with a blindness because of the Shekinah glory that shone on that day when he was on the road to Damascus. If you're not careful, and you listen to this group of people. Now listen to me now. You listen to the wrong group of people. And I encourage you to be cautious. Sometimes you ought to get counsel before you start listening and reading after certain people. Get with some good men, some good people that have some depth about them and say, hey, what do you think about this preacher? What do you think about this author? You don't just listen and read after anybody. You take in garbage. Before long, you'll be giving out garbage. You be careful now. And so, here in Acts chapter number 9, Saul. Now, folks will tell you this if you're not careful. They'll say, well, you know, when you get saved, you got to wait a while, and then you can get filled with the Holy Ghost. And you have this evidence of speaking in an unknown tongue. Now, I'm not here to bash and hurt. What I'm here to do is teach and help. And I want you to know something. First of all, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to witness boldly for the cause of Christ and the kingdom of God. You're going to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Not going to be any confusion in that. You don't have to roll in the floor to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Amen? You don't even have to jump a pew to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Just tell people what Jesus did for you. You don't have to take a soul-winning course. I thank God for soul-winning courses. Think they're good. I think you ought to hide God's word in your heart. I think it'll help you be a soul winner. But you know, if you want to be a witness for Jesus Christ, you get full of the Holy Spirit of God and you will witness for Jesus Christ. You will exalt. That is the primary ministry of the Spirit of God in the life of a believer, is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in Acts chapter number 9, Saul, on the road to Damascus, got converted. And I want you to notice what he is advised here, what happened with Saul. Look, if you would, in verse number 17. Now, there had been a few days, in verse number 9 of Acts chapter 9, it says, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Okay, now here's our man, Saul. Here's the man that's writing to the church at Ephesus. Here's the man that's saying, hey church, the Spirit of God has told me to tell you, you need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Now Saul knew something about what it was to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And here the Bible says that he did not have his sight. And there was a man in verse number 18 that God sent to him. It says, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest, watch it now, receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now here's a man who hadn't been saved just a couple of days. And here the Bible says that he's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So you don't have to be saved and grow and know all the Bible doctrines and pass a course and go to seminary. Hey, being filled with the Holy Spirit is not just for preachers only. Every preacher, listen, you deserve that your pastor be filled with the Spirit of God. Every pastor on our staff ought to be a Spirit-filled man. Every deacon at this church ought to be a Spirit-filled deacon. Every teacher, every choir member, every person that sings, can I say every member of Fellowship Baptist Church ought to be a Spirit-filled member. Amen. So don't think now when Paul is writing over there in the book of Ephesians that you're to be filled with the Spirit, he's talking to the pastoral staff only. Now I believe he's talking to the elders. I believe he's speaking to the preachers. Amen. But he's speaking to every individual. Every Christian that has been saved in the grace of God is commanded to be filled. Here Saul was, filled with the Holy Ghost. It wasn't long after Saul here in chapter 9 was filled with the Holy Ghost. There's another man in chapter 11 of the book of Acts. His name is Barnabas. And there were some things going on down there in Antioch. That's where they were first called Christians. And if you'll read Acts chapter 11, verse 24, you'll find where this man Barnabas was a man of good report, and he was full of the Holy Ghost. See, these men knew what it was to be Spirit-filled, brethren. These folks knew what it was to be Spirit-filled. That's why there were many people getting saved. That's why they were going out preaching the gospel. That's why when they called them in and said, hey, you quit that preaching. You quit that testifying. You quit telling about Jesus. They said, we cannot help but say and do the things which we have seen and heard. They were so full of God, it just came out on them, amen. That's what being filled with the Spirit will do. It'll keep us focused on what we need to stay focused on. Or let me just say who we need to stay focused on, and that is Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 13, the Bible says that these two men, Barnabas and Saul, that I just told you about in Acts chapter 11, Acts chapter 9, they were in the church there in Antioch, and God, the Holy Ghost said, listen, separate these men. I've got a work for them to do. God has something for Spirit-filled people to do. Now, with that said, we go back to the book of Ephesians. Let me say something to you here. I should never attempt, and you should never attempt, to do God's work without the filling of God's Spirit. The reason that there are a lot of shipwrecked Christians, the reason that there are a lot of folks that are discouraged and falling out and quit, is because we have people trying to do a spiritual work in the energy of the flesh. It'll wear you down. It'll wear you out. You will find yourself on the side of the road, quit somewhere. You can't do God's work in your flesh through your energy. Can't do it. Can't do a supernatural work in a natural way. So here, Paul, writing, he said, hey, I want to tell you what God's will for your life is. Now listen to me. Go back to Ephesians 5. He said, God's will. Now look at verse 17. Brother Ryan read it in our hearing tonight. God's will for you is to be filled with His Spirit. And then everything will begin to fall into place. Now, that doesn't mean there'll be no problems. Don't misunderstand me here. Doesn't mean you won't have problems. Doesn't mean you'll not have challenges. Doesn't mean that there'll not be opposition and battles. It does mean that. But what it also means is that God will fight your battles. God will strengthen you in the midst of these things that go on in your life and in my life. God is a great enabler. And here the Bible says in verse number 17 of Ephesians chapter 5, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Now, the will of the Lord could be broken down in many ways for each individual. But there's one thing that's God's will for all of us, and that is to be filled with the Spirit. See, it's God's will for you as a Christian to be filled with the Spirit. It's not only God's will, it's God's command. Look at verse number 18. Let's look at it. Let's look at this commandment here, the Spirit-filled life. I'm just going to give you a thought tonight. What does it mean when God says, be filled with the Spirit? When? Why? Well, when is right now. Notice what this, look at verse number 18. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now I want to look just a moment at the structure of the way this is. See that "be filled"? That is what's called an imperative move. Now, I'm not trying to get all grammatical on you, but I do want you to know something. God wrote what he wrote with a purpose. When we look at this verse of Scripture here, and God put it in this sentence structure, when he put it this way, he put it imperatively, which means it's a command. This is not, be filled. This is not a suggestion. Hey, you know what? You might want to consider being filled when you serve me. This is not what's being said here. What's being said is in the imperative mood. Be filled, which means when I look at this contrast, and we talked about this last week a little bit, if I were to ask every person sitting here, if you're saved in the grace of God, and I were to ask you, do you believe it's wrong to be drunk? If you're a Christian, you would raise your hand and say, yes, preacher, it's wrong to be drunk. But if I were to ask you, is it wrong not to be filled with the Spirit? How many of you, don't raise your hand now, but I wonder how many would, with conviction now, and mean it in your heart, say, preacher, I believe it's wrong not to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And yet the Bible says it's wrong not to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not only wrong, it's disobedient not to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. It's a commandment. It's in the imperative mood. Be filled with the Spirit. It's also plural. Now, what does that mean? Look at it. When it says be filled, there is an understood subject there, which is ye. And that understood subject carries over from 18 into verse 19 and also into verse 21 as yourselves. Look at what he's saying. In verse number 18, but be filled. Be ye. That's plural. That's the church. Paul's writing to the church. Be ye filled. Speaking in verse number 19 to who? Not yourself. Yourselves. Plural. Verse number 21. Submitting yourselves. It's plural. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is for every born again believer. Now, children, listen to me. Don't you think, well, you know, I have to be 16 before I get this, and 18, you know, get a gun permit and get my driver's license and get this and get that. When you get saved, doesn't matter if you're six, you get the Holy Spirit. And you are commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. See, God doesn't have a separate set of rules. This is where a lot of parents mess up. Well, God's got a certain set of rules for children and teenagers, and then also a certain set of rules for adults. No, God expects obedience out of all of his people. Amen. Amen. And God expects every Christian to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And so I want to encourage you, young people. This is for all of us, but I want to include you. Don't think, well, you know, this preaching stuff, that's for the older people. If you're saved, tonight's message is for you. If you're not saved, it's for you too. but in a different way as we close. But right now, if you're saved, whether you're one of these young ladies on the front here, 4, 5, 6 years old, up to Dr. Thompson, 90 years old, every believer, under the sound of my voice, if you're saved, God is telling you, be filled with the Spirit. That's the command. Now, not only is it in imperative mood, is it plural in number, but it's in present tense. Now listen to me. When, preacher? When am I to be filled? Have I got to go through a 12-step program? Have I got to pass some tests? Have I got to take a course at the church and pass it and get the pastor's approval and then get the deacons to vote on it and then I can get filled with the Holy Spirit? Oh, no. This is between you and God. God is saying, you be filled with the Spirit. When? Now. Right now. Be filled. When? Now. Present tense. Present tense. And it's not only present tense, but it's present, listen to me, it's present imperative, which means now, and then keep being filled. See, it's constant, but it's also continuous. Are you listening? It's really important. There are people that will go a day without being filled with the Spirit. You do not have to go a day without being filled with the Holy Spirit. There are people who will go a week without being filled with the Spirit. You do not have to go a week without being filled with the Holy Spirit. We are told to be filled with the Spirit now and then to continue to be filled. Now, what's that tell me? That tells me that the filling of the Holy Spirit is not a permanent work of the Holy Spirit. Now, the baptism of the Spirit is a permanent work. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is a permanent work. The sealing of the Holy Spirit, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. That's a permanent work, and we're sealed until the day of redemption. But the filling of the Holy Spirit is not a permanent work. It's a continuous work. And that's the mood in which this verb, be filled now and then continue to be filled. What's that tell me about myself? I leak. Yeah. I'm sinful. Now, in these series of messages, I want to talk a little bit about the flesh and the Spirit, but that's not my message tonight. And they're contrary. And I'm telling you, brethren, listen, you don't have to have me convince you. You had a fight today. Don't look at your wife. I didn't mean with her. I meant with you. Hey, man, you had a fight with you. And listen, if you're saved, that flesh and spirit are contrary one to another. Galatians 5, verse number 16. They're contrary, and there is a fight going on. There is a fight. And so that's why we ought to be considerate and kind and tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Why? Because that person that offended you, they live in the same sinful flesh you live in. And they may be offending you today, but you may be offending them tomorrow. And so you forgive them today, and pray God they forgive you tomorrow. Somebody say amen with me. Amen. We live in this old flesh. And this old flesh sins against God and sins against the brethren and sins against what is right and honorable. And when we sin, we need to confess our sin. And as we confess our sin, God says, I will cleanse you and I will forgive you. And then we say, God, I want to be filled afresh. Give me that fresh touch. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit that I may go on today in your power and service. It's important. You say, well, preacher, I don't do that. Well, there was a time in my life when I didn't know to do it either. And so if you're not doing that, I want to encourage you. You know, I may have told this story, when I first got saved, listen, I was not brought up in church. And maybe you were and you still don't. Listen, being brought up in church doesn't mean you have a Bible knowledge. It doesn't. I was not brought up in church. I didn't know. So I just heard through the grapevine, you need to say your prayers before you go to bed at night. Amen. So, man, I'd go all day. I'd go all day sinning like sinners do. Save sinners. You know those kind of sinners, don't you? You're one of them if you're saved. And I'd sin. And I mean, I'd feel terrible about it. That's the way you feel when you're saved and sin. Amen. Amen. Now, if you think you're saved and you can just sin and it doesn't bother you, you don't feel a prick in your heart, oh my, I'd be real concerned. Right. I mean, like, very concerned. Amen. like concerned that I would begin to check up on some things. But anyhow, amen. I'd sin, I'd feel terrible. Why? I didn't know. So I waited at night and I confessed my sin. But glad day of my life that when I heard a message, it said, look, you don't confess your sin at the end of the day. Keep short accounts with God was what my pastor preached. Keep short accounts with God. You sin, get it right. Amen. You sin, get it right then. You don't have to wait an hour, 2 hours, 6 hours, 8 hours, 12 hours to make it right with God. Make it right then. Confess it right then. Say, God, I'm sorry. And then I was taught that's when you pray. For when you pray for that cleansing, you pray for God to make your vessel honorable. Be that vessel of honor, brethren. We're going to read some scripture about that here as we close. But listen now. I'm talking about the command. First of all, I said it's imperative. It's be filled. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. Number two, it's plural. Ye, yourselves, the church, believers are to be filled. Third of all, it's present tense. It's not get filled with the Spirit. No. It's not out in the future. Well, at some point, you ought to get filled with the Spirit. No, Paul said, be filled right now. Get filled with the Spirit. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to get that taken care of before you leave here. Immediately, you need to get that taken care of. And I'm going to tell you how. And then, it's present imperative, which means it's continuous action. It's a once and for all. Now, when the Bible speaks of getting filled, I want to just show you something here, okay? And then we'll move on. But I do want to show you this. Hold your place here. Do you see that word filled in verse number 18? But be filled. Now, what does that mean? Well, sometimes we get to thinking, we think, well, that means you pour something in a glass and you fill it up. Well, let me show you what the Bible, a picture here, okay? Many times in the Greek language, and I'm not a Greek expert, all right? I'm not. But I have a work of Greek writings from Kenneth Weiss. Now listen, he's excellent. And he gives you some stuff. And what he did is he began to address this. And he said, and it's true. It's just like when we say, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, preacher, what's that mean? Well, there's a picture there. It's a picture of an archer. And he is aiming, that archer is aiming at that archery board. And he's aiming for the bullseye. Well, every man wants to hit the bullseye. Say amen right there. All right, so he's aiming. I'm going to hit that bullseye. And he lets his arrow go. And he looks up. And he not only did not hit the bullseye, his arrow did not make it to the board. Okay? That's the picture. All have sinned and come short. What's God telling me? You're nowhere near to my holiness. I mean, you're way away from my holiness. You're way away from my requirements. See, sometimes we think, well, I'm a pretty good fella. Right? You talk to people, you're a sinner. Well, now, I wouldn't say all that. I would. God said it. And I'm going to tell you what God said. Now, here, the picture is this. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You've fallen way short. Okay? I mean, your arrow didn't make it nowhere near. You didn't hit the bullseye. You didn't hit the board. You're way away from God's holiness. You're going to need some help getting there. And I'm glad that Jesus is the righteousness of Christ is in me. Amen. Jesus represents God's holiness in me. That's called imparted righteousness. It's been imputed to us. Now, here he said, be filled with the Spirit. What's that being filled mean? Well, it means being controlled by. Turn, if you would, to Luke just for a moment. Luke chapter number 4. Now, how many of you have ever been full of wrath? Raise your hand. Amen. Every parent in the building just raised their hand. Amen. You come home and you notice your kids got something all over them, and then you go into the room and man, you were hoping it was just all over them, but it's all over everything, right? And you are filled with wrath. That means that wrath begins to control your thought process. Wrath will begin to control your actions, your steps. Here in Luke chapter number 4, we have an instance where someone is controlled by wrath. Luke 4, look if you would in verse number 28. Now, we know that these Pharisees and these Sadducees that were in the synagogue, they were always trying to trap Jesus. They were always trying to find fault in Jesus. Hey, how would you like to have that job? Trying to find fault in perfection. It's quite a job. That's hard work. The Bible says in verse number 28 of Luke chapter 4, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, which means that it consumed them. It controlled them, their actions, their thoughts, their mindset. The Bible speaks of, and we won't turn there, but in Acts chapter number 13 and verse 45, it talks about being filled with envy. Where, I mean, you can't think of anything. All you can do is just be, you're envious of somebody, and it's always on your mind, and never go, it just controls everything. Well, we go back to Ephesians chapter 5, and when the Bible says be filled with the Spirit, it means yield to His control. Yield to the Spirit's control. Now, the Spirit of God will always tell you to do right. The Spirit of God will always tell you to obey the commandments. But there's also a voice of the flesh that says, well, you know, why don't you just do it this way? A little variance won't matter. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. You see, that's why we're in the shape we are now. Because a little turns into a little more, and then a little more, and then before long, man, we've got churches now that don't even preach the gospel. It started out just a little turn here and a little turn there. So when he's saying be filled with the Spirit, he's saying allow the Spirit to control you. Now the command, listen to me now, goes back to the contrast. When a man is drunk, is he in control of himself? No, he's not in control of himself. That's negative. But can I tell you, a man that is filled with the Spirit, he's not in control of himself either. The Spirit of God's in control of himself. The Spirit's in control of that man. You see, the Bible says that we are to allow the Spirit to control us. Did you know that there's a verse of Scripture, and I'm going to ask you to turn here in James, and this thought just came to my mind. I believe God wants me to share this verse of Scripture with you. It's James chapter, and I think it's chapter 4. James chapter 4. It is. James chapter 4, verse number 5. The Spirit of God is envious to control us. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 5, do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? You say, well, wait a minute now, the Spirit doesn't lust. Oh, really? Turn to Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, the Bible says the Spirit does lust. You see, the Spirit wants to control you. Why? Because the Spirit desires to exalt Jesus. The flesh desires to exalt self. And so the Spirit wants to control us so that we will exalt Jesus. Because if the Spirit doesn't control us, the old flesh is just only going to exalt self. Me, 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 I. It's all about us. But when we're filled with the Spirit, it's all about Him. It's all about Him. Do you think that the Spirit, that the Scripture saith in vain, that the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Look in Galatians chapter number 5, and I'm going to be preaching a message on this soon, the Lord willing, as we go through our studies in Galatians. But look in chapter 5. Look, if you would, in verse number 16. This I say then, Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Now, what's the Spirit doing against the flesh? Lusting. Yes. Yes. Oh, lust is a bad word, preacher. Oh, lust is a strong passion. Lust could be a negative word, but it also could be a positive word. It depends on who's doing the lusting and what they're lusting for. The Spirit, look at the Scripture again in verse number 16 and 17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. What's the missing word there? Lust, desire, has a passion, battles, goes against, works against. The Spirit has a desire, a strong desire for your life and my life. What is that desire? To exalt the name of Jesus Christ. And only will a Spirit-filled Christian do that. Carnal Christians, now listen to me, never exalt the name of Jesus. You know, before you go soul winning, you might ought to brush up on your scripture, but always pray for the filling of God's Holy Spirit. Before you go soul winning, before you leave out for work in the morning, well, not in the morning, if you leave out for work in the morning, God bless you. Before you leave out for work each day, you might all say a word of prayer and ask God to guide you. But don't forget to pray for the filling of God's Holy Spirit. Young people, when you're in school, when you head out to school, certainly know your homework and have it and have your schoolwork. But always pray for the filling of God's Holy Spirit. It is important. Moms, when you're there at home with the children and there's many chores to do, oh, listen, somebody, are you a working mom or a stay-home mom? Are you kidding me? There's no harder working mom than a stay-home mom. Listen, if you work and stay home, you got two jobs. Say amen right there. Yes. You need to pray for the filling of God's Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit. God help me. God help me. God fill me. We'll go back to Ephesians 5 and we'll close with this thought. Well, we looked at why. Well, it's commanded. Be filled. Be filled now. There are so many people that living the Christian life is like walking in quicksand. It's a drudgery. It's trudging. How you doing, Christian brother? Oh, I'm making it, preacher. God have mercy on you. I'm not saying every day's a skippity-doo-dah, kick your heels up kind of day, but if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, brethren, it's a wonderful thing, this journey of faith called the Christian life. Hey, I want to stand before you. I'm only 56 years old, but being a Christian is wonderful. Life is good. I have troubles like you have troubles. I have aches and pains. Hey, man, I've been crying over my swollen thumb. My wife, I started to get her to suck it for me. Amen. Too big to fit in my mouth. I better hush. Amen. Listen, we all have difficulties and we suffer. We have just all manner of hardship and sorrow. I mean, it's life. But isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? Amen. Isn't it wonderful to have God's Spirit to guide us and give us wisdom and help us in our decision making and give us light in our path so that as we walk, we don't have to take steps into darkness and just throw it in the wind and say, oh, I hope something good comes out of this. Life's not about that. Be filled with the Spirit. Have a direction. Have a purpose in life. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be filled with the Spirit. Why? Are you in Ephesians 5 again? I'm going to ask you to turn back just one chapter, chapter 4, and this is the commandment. Preacher, why does God command me to be filled with the Spirit? And I'm going to close here tonight. Why does God command me to be filled with the Spirit? Well, here it is. Ephesians 4, verse number 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. The only way I'm ever going to be walk worthy of this life that God has called me to as a believer is to be filled with the Spirit. It's the only way. Now, this is not talking about being worthy to be saved. There's none of us worthy to be saved. We're all unworthy sinners. And God in His grace had mercy on us. Aren't you glad? Amen. But now that we're saved, God said, I want you to live different now. You don't have to live that old way. You don't have to live after the flesh. And so I've given you an earnest, the Spirit of God. I've given you someone that will assist you and come alongside of you and help you and comfort you and empower you and embolden you. Someone that'll be your friend. I've given you my Holy Spirit. Be filled with Him. Be filled with Him. Why? Because I want you to walk worthy of that calling. The only way you and I are ever going to do that now, listen, verse 1 of chapter 4 goes right in to chapter 5, verse 18. It's tied at the hip. It's the only way. It's the only way you're going to be filled, walk worthy is to be filled with the Spirit. It's the only way. You know, it's a struggle. I read the story, true story, this week. I thought about one of the young men who used to attend our church here, Grant Vance. He's down in Florida, and he left to go, and I think he went to flight school down there. I'm not sure of all that, you know, that happened, but I think he went down there to and I've had some contact occasionally with Grant. But I thought about him when I read this, only because he's down in the area. There was a flight school down in Florida, and part of the instructions, part of the training, was you go out with a senior pilot. And there's a time when you can get to a place where you go out and that pilot will turn over. He'll turn over the gear, you know, turn over the wheel to you, so to speak, whatever it's called in an airplane. Turn it over to that up-and-coming pilot, that guy who's being trained. And there was a tragedy there about 12 years ago at this flight school where this instructor had turned it over to a trainee. And he got comfortable, the instructor did, and the trainee was flying, and he froze. He just froze. And he kept saying, "Turn it back over, turn it over, turn over, turn over the wheel, turn over the wheel, turn over the wheel." And then the last thing they heard when they recovered the wreckage on the black box was a big explosion. And as I read that, I thought, you know, that's terrible. But that's kind of what happens to a lot of Christians. We're flying along, and you know, we in this thing called life, and somehow one of the things used to drive me crazy, drive me nuts, and if you've got one of these stickers on your car, just take it off. Don't get mad at me. Just take it off. God is my co-pilot. Are you kidding me? That's all God is to you? Listen, take that off. Don't get mad at me. Just take it off. There's no biblical truth to that whatsoever. Do yourself and all of us a favor as a Christian and get rid of that. Now, I'm not being mean to you. Okay, I'm not. It's just that's not true. That's not true at all. God is not your co-pilot. God is either pilot or He's nothing. He's either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. And so sometimes we try to take the wheel back, right? You ever done that? Try to take the wheel. I'm going to do this. And the Spirit of God softly and tenderly says, no, no. Now you turn the reins back over, son. Ma'am, you turn the reins back over. I got this, God. I got this. I know what to do. I have a hunch. I have a feeling about this. I've got this, God. I'm going to do it, God. I think I've got this thing worked out. Don't make the last thing that we hear out of your life be a loud crash because you wouldn't listen as the Spirit of God was saying, turn it over, turn it back over, turn it back over. The Spirit of God wants to guide your life. He's in you. How do I allow that to happen, preacher? Just yield it to Him. It's just, listen. Now we're going to look at next week, the Lord willing, the process of doing that. I said we was going to get into 2 Timothy about the vessel of honor. We'll do that. You've got, next week, the Lord willing, you've got to just let God lead your life. It's a yielding. Oh, don't resist the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God can be resisted. That's what the Scripture teaches in the book of Acts. Don't you resist Him. God help me not to resist Him, nor grieve Him, nor quench Him, but yield to Him. As we stand to our feet, I said last week, this thing of being filled with the Spirit, somehow as a young Christian, I got in my mind, Man, I need more of the Holy Spirit. You know, I got to get more of Him. I got to get more of Him. I've got all the Holy Spirit I'm going to get. You do too. When you got saved, you got all of Him. He's a person. You're not going to get the torso of the Holy Spirit when you get saved and then start getting, you know, limbs and members later in life. You got all the Holy Spirit when you got saved. You got every bit of the Holy Spirit. He's a person. Being filled with the Spirit is Him getting all of you. Now, you have all of Him. The question is, if you're saved, you have all the Holy Spirit. That's not the question, do I have the Spirit? If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. The question is, do you have all of Him? The question is, does He have all of you? Is there errors in your life you say, no, now God, I'm not gonna turn that over to you. I like my music too much now. I've got to shake my head going down the road or I can't live life. I got to play the imaginary guitar, you know, or I can't enjoy music. I got a headbanger. I got to somehow think about a dog dying and cry, you know. I got to have my music. Yeah, hey, I'm going to tell you now. Why are you saying that, preacher? Because that's a lot of people's weakness. That's why. Music. Music. Music has a message. And it's preaching loud and clear. See, I don't believe that, preacher. You need to get your head out of the sand. Music has a message. And it's preaching loud and clear. And its message sends no mixed signals. Its message is either glorify God or dishonor Him. That's music. And that's what a lot of people will not take their hand out. Well, I'll give you this, God. But now I'm holding on to this. For others, it's dress. I just got to show everything. I've just got to be sexier. I'm not satisfied. God's not going to fill you with His Holy Spirit. God's not going to fill you with His Holy Spirit. Others is the spirit of jealousy, envy. You're not happy where you are in life, and so you've got to talk down everyone else because you think they've got a little better than you. You ought to rejoice with those that have a little more than you. Rejoice with them. Thank God God's blessed them. So you see, this thing of being filled with the Spirit, don't think you can just kneel down and say, now God, I want you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. You know what God's going to do? He's going to touch something in our lives and say, well, I'm going to just as soon as you let me deal with this. You say, well, God doesn't do that, preacher. Oh, I don't know. Maybe you ought to read John chapter 4. You ready to drink this water, ma'am? Oh, I'm ready. Okay, go tell your husband. Oh, by the way, that didn't come up before, but I don't have one. Yeah, I know you don't. You've had five. And the one you're with now is not your husband. So don't think God doesn't say, hey, you need to get rid of some things before I will do a work in your life. So don't think now that you can be filled with the Spirit and filled with yourself and sin too. That is a theological impossibility. We bow our heads together.